Good morning. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. We know well the story of Jesus' triumphant entrance into Jerusalem. While we proclaim these words with heartfelt sincerity today, we must consider how we use our words and actions to crucify church and political leaders, others who are not like us, and even ourselves. Today, let us ask for the grace to enter into Holy Week with the desire to more intimately understand Jesus' humanity and his journey to the cross. If you have not received a palm, please go to the entrance of the church and take some. Please stand for the blessing of the palm during the procession to the altar. Hold out your palm.
Thank you. was our Savior who gave flesh and submit to the cross, graciously grant that we may heed his blessing, our patient suffering, and so merit a share in his resurrection. So lives and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Lord has given me a well-trained tongue, that I might know how to speak to the weary, a word that will rouse them. Morning after morning, he opens my ear that I may hear, and I have not rebelled, have not turned back. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard. My face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. The Lord God is my help. Therefore, I am not disgraced. I have set my face like a flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. The word of the Lord.
But you, my Lord, be not far from me. my help, hasten to aid me. My God, my God, why have you abandoned me? I will proclaim your name to my brethren in the midst of assembly, I will praise you. You who feed the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, give glory to him. Descendants of Israel, my God, why have you abandoned me?
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, and found human in appearance. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Yet they seem to be arguing about who is in charge of rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. But Luke never loses sight of the wider story. This reflects a previous discretion. After Jesus predicted his passion the second time, arguments arose among the disciples about which of them was the greatest. Jesus realized the intention of their hearts, took the child and placed it by his side, and said to them, "Whoever receives this child in my name receives me. Whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. For the one who is least among all of you is the one who is the greatest." Luke is revealing to us very powerfully that the desire for position and prominence is an almost intractable problem of every society and organization, including the church. Note that in the reading from St. John of this Thursday evening, Jesus puts on apron and washes the feet of his disciples. It's a powerful commentary on being human. That this is on Jesus' mind as he prepares for death. And so we look at the church and the world today, and we can see why. Another aspect of Luke is that while he is showing us what not to do, he will subtly invoke the presence of Mary, the mother of Jesus, as to what should be done. Mary is not seen at the cross in this gospel, but she can be found throughout the narrative. Compare the passage we have just read with the Annunciation. Mary said, "I am, behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." The only other person under the child in that society was a handmaid, a body servant. As we read through the Passion today, remember Simeon's call to Mary, of that a sword will pierce her heart, and the meaning of the good seed, the parable of the sower. There's no better way to understand Jesus' passion than with Jesus' mother. So I ask you now, please
the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. When the hour came, Jesus took his place at the table with the apostles. He said to them,
"I am eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I shall not eat it again until there is fulfillment in the kingdom of God."
Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and said,
"Take this and share it among yourselves, for I tell you that from this time on I shall not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes."
Then he took the bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them, saying,
"This is my body, which will be given for you. Do this in memory of me."
And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying,
"This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which will be shed for you. And yet behold, the hand of the one who is to betray me is with me on this table. For the Son of Man indeed goes, and has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed."
And they began to debate among themselves, who among them would do such a deed? Then an argument broke out among them about which of them should be regarded as the greatest. He said to them,
"Kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those of authority over them are addressed as benefactors. But among you it shall not be so. Rather, the greatest among you be as have stood by me in my trial, and I confer a kingdom on you, just as my Father has conferred one on me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. And you will sit on thrones, judging 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to sift all of you like me, but I have prayed that your own faith may not fail. And once you have turned back, you must strengthen your brothers.
He said to them,
Lord, I am prepared to go to prison and to die with you.
But he replied,
I tell you here, while the cock crows this day, you will deny me three times that you are me.
He said to them,
I sent you forth without a money bag or a sack or sandals. Were you in need of anything?
No. They replied, he said to them,
but now one who has a money bag should take it, likewise a sack, and one who does not have a sword should sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you that the scripture must be fulfilled in me, namely, he was counted among the wicked, and indeed what is written about me is coming to fulfillment.
Then they said,
Lord, look, there are two swords here.
But he replied,
it is enough.
Then going out, he went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he arrived at the place, he said to them,
pray that you may not undergo the test.
After withdrawing about a stone's throw from them and kneeling, he prayed, saying,
Father, you are willing to take this cup away from me, and still, not my will, but yours be done.
And to strengthen him, an angel form from heaven appeared to him. He was in such agony and prayed so fervently that his sweat became like drops of blood falling on the ground. When he rose from prayer and returned to his disciples, he found them sleeping from grief. He said to them,
why are you sleeping? Get up and pray, that you may not undergo the test.
While he was still speaking, a crowd approached, and in front was one of the 12, a man named Judas. He went up to Jesus to kiss him. Jesus said to him,
Judas, betraying the Son of Man.
His disciples realized what was about to happen, and they asked,
Lord, shall we strike the sword?
And one of them struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said in reply,
stop, no more of this.
Then he touched the servant's ear and healed him. And Jesus said to the chief priest and temple guards and elders who had come for him,
have you come out as against the robber with swords and clubs? Day after day I was with you in the temple area, and you did not seize me. But this is your hour, the time for the power of darkness.
After arresting him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter was following at a distance. They lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it, and Peter sat down with them. When a maid saw him seated in the light, she looked intently at him and said, but he denied it, saying,
woman, I do not know.
A short while later, someone else saw him and said,
you too, Lord.
But Peter answered,
my friend, may not.
About an hour later, still another insisted, but Peter said,
my friend, I do not know what you're talking about.
Just as he was saying this, the cock crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the cock crows today, you will deny me 3 times." He went out and began to weep bitterly. The men who held Jesus in custody were ridiculing and beating him. They blindfolded him and questioned him, saying, and they reviled him and saying many other things against him. When day came, the council of elders of the people met, both chief priests and scribes, and they brought him before their Sanhedrin. They said,
"If you are the Christ, tell us."
But he replied to them,
"If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I question, you will not respond. But from this time on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God."
They all asked,
"Are you the Son of God?"
He replied to them,
"You say that I am."
Then they said, Then the whole assembly of them arose and brought him before Pilate. They brought charges against him, saying, Pilate asked him,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
He said to him in reply,
"You say so."
Pilate then addressed the chief priest and the crowds,
"I find this man not guilty."
But they were adamant and said,
"He is a sign of the people who are seeking from Galilee where he can be
cleared." On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. And upon learning that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was in Jerusalem at the time. Herod was very glad to see Jesus. He had been wanting to see him for a long time, for he had heard about him and had been hoping to see him perform some sign. He questioned him at length, but he gave him no answer. The chief priest and scribes, meanwhile, stood by accusing him harshly. Herod and his soldiers treated him contemptuously and mocked him. And after clothing him in resplendent garb, he sent him back to Pilate. Herod and Pilate became friends that very day, even though they had been enemies formerly. Pilate then summoned the chief priest, the rulers, and the people, and said to them,
"You brought this man to me and accused him of inciting the people to revolt. I have conducted my investigation in your presence and have not found this man guilty of the charges you have brought against him. Nor did Herod, for he sent him back to us. So no capital crime has been committed by him. Therefore, I shall have him fall and then release him."
But all together they shouted, Now Barabbas had been imprisoned for a rebellion that had taken place in the city and for murder. Again, Pilate addressed them, still wishing to release Jesus, but they continued their shouting. Pilate addressed them a third time.
"What evil has this man done? I found him guilty of no capital crime. Therefore, I shall have him flogged and then release him."
With loud shouts, however, they persisted in calling for his crucifixion, and their voices prevailed. The verdict of Pilate was that their demand should be granted. So he released the man who had been imprisoned for rebellion and murder, for whom they asked, and he handed Jesus over to them to deal with as they wished. As they led him away, they took hold of a certain Simon, a Syrian, who was coming from the country. And after laying the cross on him, they made him carry it behind Jesus. A large crowd of people followed Jesus, including many women who mourned and lamented him. Jesus turned to them and said,
"Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep instead for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming when the people will say, 'Blessed are the barren, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' At that time, a people will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if these things are done, then the way is green. What will happen when it is done?"
Now, two others, both criminals, were led away with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him and the criminals there, one on his right, the other on his left. Then Jesus said,
"Father, forgive them. They know not what they do."
They divided his garments by casting lots. The people stood by and watched. The rulers, meanwhile, sneered at him and said, Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out,
"If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself."
Above him, there was an inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying,
"Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us."
The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply,
"Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly. For the sins we receive correspond to our crimes. This man has done nothing to crime."
Then he said,
"Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom."
He replied to him,
"Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise."
It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. because of an eclipse of the sun. Then the veil of the temple was torn down the middle. Jesus cried out in a loud voice,
"Father, into your hands I commend my spirit."
And when he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion who witnessed what had happened glorified God and said,
"This man was innocent beyond doubt."
When all the people who had gathered from this spectacle saw what had happened, they returned home beating their breast. But all his acquaintances stood at a distance, including the women who had followed him from Galilee and saw these events. Now there was a virtuous and righteous man named Joseph, who, though he was a member of the council, had not consented to their plan of action. He came from the Jewish town of Arimathea and was awaiting the kingdom of God. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. After he had taken the body down, he wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid him in a rock-hewn tomb in which no one had yet been buried. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come from Galilee with him followed behind, and when they had seen the tomb and the way in which his body was laid in it, they returned and prepared spices and perfumed oils. Then they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment.
Amen. Think about the line that struck you most powerfully during the reading of the Passion, and let us spend exactly 1 minute rolling it over in our minds and hearts. Please be seated. Let us join together now and recite the creed. We believe in one God.
For an end to hatred, division, oppression, war, apathy, and greed, for strength to those who promote peace and equality, and for courage to speak on behalf of those living on the margins of society, we pray. For those preparing for sacraments in our parish this Easter season, and for their families, we pray. For our religious and civic leaders, for transparency and moral ethics that respond to the needs of the least served, for an end to unjust laws and practices that segregate, oppress, and dominate, we pray. For all who are sick in mind, body, and spirit, for the institutionalized, for the abandoned who feel depressed, afraid, suicidal, and alone, we pray.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all martyrs who last breath proclaim Christ's victories over death, we pray. For the recently departed, especially Nicholas Adamo, whose funeral mass will be at St. Charles this Tuesday at 10:30 a.m., and his family, we pray. For the crosses we carry in the silence of our hearts, we pray.
Lord,
for Anne Pasciani, remembered by her family. We pray.
Lord, hear our prayer. Father Justice, you know our needs. We enter this most holy week on our hearts and gives us courage to take up our cross as our journey to Jesus, our brother and Savior.
What wondrous love is this?
Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks. Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. For though innocent, he suffered willingly for sinners and accepted unjust condemnation to save the guilty. His death has washed away our sins, and his resurrection has purchased our justification. And so, with all the angels, we praise you as in joyful celebration we acclaim.
The mystery of faith.
Savior's command, that formed by divine teaching, we dare to say.
Thank you.
So by his resurrection, you may meet us who wear the call through Christ our Lord.